It's time for Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley is here. Paul Thurrott still on the train up from New Orleans. But we've got a lot of information from TechEd and a couple of visitors. Carl Franklin and Richard Campbell of the .NET Rock Show will join us next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 315, recorded June 6th, 2013. Has well that ends well. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. And by GoToMyPC from Citrix. GoToMyPC connects you directly to your Office Mac or PC from any other computer or from your iPad or iPhone. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today at GoToMyPC.com. Use the promo code Windows. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today. For a 30-day free trial, visit ShareFile.com. Click the radio microphone at the top of the page and enter Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about Windows weekly, but with strength. Not weekly, but with strength every week. Mary Jo Foley is here. Paul Thurrott is coming back from TechEd in New Orleans. How'd you get back faster, Mary Jo?
I had an easier choice of flight since I live in New York.
Oh, of course. You live in the big city. He lives in that tiny burg known as Dedham.
Exactly.
Yeah. So welcome back. How was tech? Well, we should mention that we are going to have some people in here in addition to Paul. Carl Franklin and Richard Campbell of .NET Rocks and the Tablet Show will join us. And I presume they were at TechEd as well.
Yeah, they're still there, They're finishing up judging Speaker Idol, and then they're going to rush out and come on the show. So they should be ready.
So how was my favorite city? Did you have fun?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, but man, was it hot. But you knew it was going to be.
You know, this isn't even the worst part of summer, right? It's just still early June. But I've been told it gets, over 100 with 100% humidity, and I can't even imagine what that would be
like. I know. It was 90 with 90%+ humidity. Yeah. Like one day it was raining while it was super sunny at the exact same time. Yeah, it was hot.
Hey, but the music, the food, the people.
Totally.
And of course, TechEd. Was TechEd in the Superdome or where was it held?
No, it was in the convention center.
Convention center.
Which is where it usually is. Yeah.
Okay.
And I got to say, I think it was one of the best TechEds I've ever been to. And I've been to almost all of them.
What made it so good?
So they had the Surface giveaway at TechEd.
Somebody told me the lines were rather long to get
there. They were crazy.
It wasn't a giveaway. It was $99.
No. True. $99 for the RT and $400 for the Pro.
Wow.
Which is an amazing deal. And so I got there Sunday around 11:30 in the morning, and there was already a 2.5-hour line before the show even opened.
Did you get yours?
No. I never could find the time to stand in line for 2.5 or 3 hours, so I did not get one.
Oh, but you don't.
But I already have an RT.
Yeah,
yeah. I already have one.
What's the benefit for you?
Right.
Did anybody ask you where you got them shoes, or say he could tell you where you got them shoes?
No, nobody said.
You were prepared for that this time.
I was ready.
Yes, because I through my own bitter experience, and a $20 bill later. Found out that I've got them on my feet.
I was so ready for that.
Were you helping somebody come up to you so you could say, I know.
Yep. Yeah, we had our Windows Weekly tweet up on Monday night.
Oh, how fun. Yep. How did that go?
It went great. We had a ton of people turn out, and even people who weren't at TechEd came, who lived in New Orleans and who watched the show.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yep. We have a lot of friends.
One guy brought his whole family. He had his wife, his daughter, his son-in-law.
Wow. Laissez les bon temps rouler.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's
fun.
Great.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah,
how many people
show
did you get?
Oh, I don't know how many we had. We had the whole upstairs. I'd say we had like maybe 60, 70 people.
Fabulous.
Yep. It was good.
And
on the show had a ton of news for a change, because usually TechEd is more a learning type of an event and not a not a news announcement event, but there was a ton of news this year. So that made it more fun, too.
Sure. This is where they were releasing the official release, pre-release of Windows 8.1, right, Blue?
Yeah. Well, no, they showed it more and talked about it more, but they actually didn't give it out yet.
Not yet. Will that be a build?
They're holding that. Yep, build. Okay. They're holding it for build.
It's convenient that they have all these events one after the other.
Yes, it is.
So tell me now. So you're seeing the official build of 8.1. What do you think?
Yep. I am very encouraged by what we're seeing so far.
Good.
Yep. Because we've talked about the start button, a start button of sorts coming to this release. We've talked about boot to desktop. And this week we heard about a whole bunch of other new kind of more incremental features, but still things that business users might care about.
Tell us.
So that was good.
Tell us.
I'm looking for the list here. It was a lot. You know what I got to say? I'm really surprised about what we're learning about Blue so far, because Microsoft is kind of playing this as like a more of a minor release, but mm-hmm. more and more that we hear that's in it, I'm like, wow, I would actually call this not so minor.
There's a lot of stuff. And when you change how it operates, mm-hmm. that's a big deal.
It is. So what did they show?
Before you get into that, if I don't change any settings, I know it's going to give me the option to boot to desktop, mm-hmm. but if I don't do any of those changes, the default will be pretty much like it is now, right?
It will. Yeah, with the start button type thing in the corner showing.
On by default. Okay.
Right, okay. On by default. So if you're a touch user, you won't really see much of a difference. But if you're a PC laptop user, when you put your mouse down in the lower left, you'll see the start button right. instead of that weird kind of thumbnail thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, they got up on stage on the day one keynote of TechEd and they showed off. I'm gonna just read you a list of some of the things they showed. They showed NFC tap to pair printing. So you know, you touch your PC to a NFC enabled printer.
I've used.
I know
this,
it doesn't even need to be NFC
awesome.
Enabled.
It's awesome.
Yeah, you just add a tag.
You put a little sticker on it.
Yeah.
So in the enterprise, people will be able to go and say, "Oh, I'd like to print to this one." Now, does it then use Wi-Fi? Obviously, for printing, NFC is just to say, "Here I am. Here's what I'm called. Turn this on."
Yep. They talked about Wi-Fi direct printing.
Oh, that's nice too.
Yep. Yep.
Those are big things. I tried that at CES this year. Actually, it was LG or somebody had a little phone printer, and you would go up and you would tap it, and it would, and then you could just print right to it. I mean, there's literally no second step. It just works. Yeah. I love that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't work so well in the demo.
Oh.
They had a few demo fails, but it's supposed to work.
And I wonder how many offices you're going to see people bringing their desktop PC over to the printer and trying to tap it. work, damn you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is mostly for phones, right?
I think people use it typically for phones, but now also Windows 8.
Will laptops have NFC?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, they will.
Yep.
That's interesting. So. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. What else did they show? They showed Miracast display compatibility.
What's that?
So if you want to do a presentation on a projector and you always have to have all these dongles, different dongles and things, you can not need to have those because you'll be able to project the content right onto a Miracast-enabled device through either Bluetooth or through NFC.
So it's not Wi-Fi direct. It's how is it?
I don't know exactly how it works.
Or?
Yeah, I don't know that much about Miracast, but I know we have some listeners who are super excited about it.
Right.
And every time we mention it, they're like, "Yay, Miracast!"
Oh, So it is a Wi-Fi direct connection. So you do need to have Wi-Fi.
Yeah. They said when they explained it to me, you need Bluetooth or NFC to actually pair up.
And that's
with
the pairing.
The
okay.
Yeah, for the pairing.
Got it. So it's like AirPlay, kind of, sort of. Wi-Fi
I think
direct.
So.
Intel's
I
Wi-Fi believe. Direct is in a lot of laptops, so that's a nice feature.
Yep. And then they showed you how you could use your 8.1 device to be a hotspot, which is kind of handy.
Ah, cool.
I know. Even your Surface RT.
That's something we've had, though, isn't it? I mean,
I don't know if we've had that. I don't believe we have.
I guess I'm trying to think now. If you had an Ethernet connection on a Wi-Fi laptop, you could create a peer-to-peer Wi-Fi connection by connecting the router to the Ethernet and then using the peer-to-peer. We've had that capability.
Okay. They were talking at like a hotspot, like, you know, instead of having a MiFi device or whatever, like your Surface RT becomes the hotspot if you want to let people
without
share.
An Ethernet connection. Maybe right. That's the change.
They called it broadband tethering. That's the way they call it.
So I get it. So, okay, I get what's going on. Yeah. So we've always had this in Windows, this ability to create what is it? It's not infrastructure. The other one, Wi-Fi network, by connecting via Ethernet and then using Wi-Fi. But this allows you to use your 3G as your primary connection or your 4G as your primary connection and then share it via Wi-Fi. Got it. Ad hoc. Thank you. That's the word. The opposite of infrastructure. An ad hoc network. Yeah. So ad hoc's always been there, but now we'll use the 4G. Cool. All right. Yeah. What else?
Yep. Fingerprint, the biometric stuff they showed. Including, this was kind of creepy, but they said even they check for the finger to be live.
No Play-Doh fingers.
right. Yeah. So I guess some of that's new. It's something they were touting quite a bit because they said, you know, as people go forward, there's more interest in the biometric devices, the virtual smart cards for multi-factor authentication. And they're trying to kind of be forward thinking, I think. Yeah. Maybe not everyone has that now, but hopefully in the future they'll have that.
That's pretty funny. It just senses infrared or something and senses.
Yeah. They made a big deal though. No dead fingers.
Well, the irony of all this is that Lenovo and others have been selling fingerprint enabled laptop login for years. And in a way, this is a tacit admission. Yeah, really, it was easy to fool. So now it works. Okay. Thank you.
What else did they show that businesses will like? They showed smart screen lockdown for company-issued devices. So, I mean, start screen, not smart screen. Start screen. So, you know, if you're a business and you want to make it so the people you're giving these tablets to only can look at the corporate apps and they can't be like, you know, checking Twitter, checking this, checking that, you can lock it down.
Don't so be checking Twitter on my time.
Don't be checking Twitter. Don't be on Facebook. Yeah. So, you know, for people who get company issued, like a Surface or whatever, or a laptop, desktop, whatever, they can lock it down now and make it so, hey, you're only going to see our corporate apps there.
Right.
And that's
right.
Do some work, right?
I don't work, you people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What else? Workplace join. This one, I don't understand 100%, but, you know, you can't do a domain join with Surface RT and other Windows RT devices right now. So they're trying to kind of find a way around that. And they're talking about workplace join as being a way, if you have a registered or a trusted device, they're going to be able to access your secure enterprise data if you authenticate and go through this workplace join capability. So that is actually a big deal because a lot of businesses have been like, I don't know about people bringing their own device and just getting on the network.
Right, that's a huge risk, of course.
Yeah.
Are there any security features built into it? Do you know?
There are a number of security features built into Windows 8 already. So this is just like adding an extra layer, is my understanding, on top.
Good.
Yeah. And then new capabilities around the remote wipe. So if somebody has a device that they bought themselves and they bring it into work, you can, when they leave the company or you fire them or whatever, you can wipe their corporate data and not wipe their music and their personal stuff. Yeah.
Gee, this sounds like a solution to a longstanding problem.
It's actually a much requested feature.
You killed my music.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's cool. By the way, I want to correct myself. Travel Ram in the chat room is pointing out that Wi-Fi Direct is not the same as Intel's Wi-Fi Direct or WiDi.
Okay.
Intel doesn't want it to be called WiDi. They want it to be called Wi-Fi Direct. So I could see, I mean, the confusion is understandable. Mm-hmm. I thought they were the same, but apparently WiDi is not the same. It's wireless display, actually, is what WiDi stands for. So WiDi is wireless display, Wi-Fi Direct something else. Never mind. Forget it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Good. Good to have the chat.
I want to correct. Well, yeah, you got to. I have to get it right. Important.
Yeah.
Intel hates it when you call it WiDi.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. They say it's wireless display. Please.
Yeah, so all of these things, they showed all of these off. This was the first thing they showed in the keynote, which was very unusual for TechEd again, because usually they lead with server or developer tools. Yeah, and instead, they start with, hey, guys, want to see what you got for you in Windows Blue?
Neat.
Here we go.
TechEd is for it's their developer conference. Is that right?
It's actually mostly for IT pros and
developers.
Right. Okay. But in the past, it's been like maybe 40% developer content and 60% IT pro.
Build is developer.
Yeah. This year they said, let's wait till build for developer and mostly do IT.
And they used to do WinHack, but that's folded into build now, right?
Yeah.
That was the hardware.
Yeah. So and then PDC also used to be another show they did. And then Mix, they had the Mix show. So all of those got combined into build.
Into build. That happened last year. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah.
So this is really for IT professionals. And yet, when you have a scheduled event, like this and an opportunity for the executives to take the stage, you're going to also talk about what's current. And I guess, given all the stuff you just talked about, IT professionals are going to be very interested in these features in Blue.
I think they're getting more interested. I think when Windows 8 first came out, they're like, yeah, that's okay. But I'm
not switching. Right.
And I'm already in the midst of deploying to Windows 7. And I'm not going to uproot everything. And Microsoft's still telling them, don't uproot everything. If you're going to 7, keep going to 7. And when you start adding in new machines, then we hope you'll consider 8 because we have all these new things for you.
Yeah, I mean, this makes perfect sense. They're trying to create a populist movement from the grounds, from the ground troops to the CIO. Hey, this Windows 8 would be great. We could implement this and that, and people would be tapping their laptops against the printer. It'll be great. get the CIO to start thinking at least making the move.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I think the thing is, they're being realistic, I would say. They know that the majority of businesses are on their way still to just starting to deploy Windows 7 or completing a Windows 7 deployment. And they're not saying like, okay, guys, just rip that out, put in Windows 8. They're totally not saying that, which is good.
Yeah.
Because no one would listen to that anyways.
No. Everybody'd say, ha!
Exactly.
I've got to train people.
Yeah.
Well, that in some ways might explain also some of the changes, boot to desktop and the start button, not start menu, but the start button, which will at least make some Windows 7 and XP users in the enterprise, a little less needing of training. You'll still have to teach them where the charms menu is and things like that.
Yeah. Some people have said they thought they should have included a kind of like more of a queue for the charms menu because that's sometimes is problematic, but they have not done that so far.
I mean, once you learn it's there, it's obvious it's there, but I'm seeing more and more of these gesture-based interfaces, and they really do demand kind of that you rethink and learn. It's not intuitive. You have to remember, Windows key C, or I swipe my finger in, or, that requires a retraining, no matter what.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Snap customization. We're going to be snapping in a minute. Are we ready to snap? All right. We're going to snap in. This is a demonstration of Windows 8 Snap. We are going to add Richard Campbell and Carl Franklin. They're going to snap in on the left and the right. Let's see if this works. I think I have to push a button. Ready? Boom.
Boom.
Very fancy.
Wow, snapping hurts.
Oh, man. And this is the new one-third, one-third, one-third snap that you'll see in Windows 8.1, ladies and gentlemen. So we should mention Paul is still on the train. He decided to take a train back from New Orleans. So Richard and Carl are joining us. .NET rocks and the tablet show.
It certainly does.
Yes. And which is which? Because you're both bearded, and I was told that the bearded one was Carl.
Yes, I'm Carl. Richard, my brother, has the goatee.
Got it. That's the distinction. Okay.
Although we're sometimes interchangeable because people call me Richard all the time. People call him Carl all the time.
That's great. What is it about? You got the Loudermilks, you got Richard and Carl. There's a brother thing going on in the Windows podcast space.
And we're not actually brothers.
Well, I noticed you had different names.
Yeah, that's a start.
Okay. So you're only brothers in spirit, in soul.
Soul brothers.
Soul absolutely. Brothers. All right. You did use the word brother.
There's a podcast that will do that to you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, suffering together in that closet with a little TV tray and the microphone attached by a wire hanger.
Yeah, it was terrible. was terrible.
Remember those days? So we've been, Mary Jo and I have been running down, waiting for you. By the way, did you get a winner in the contest?
Yes, we did. Jessica DeVita won Speaker Idol. She'll be speaking in Houston next year.
Great.
That's nice.
Yeah. What's her specialty?
She was doing Office 365.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And she was a wild card, too. So she was one of the, she filled an open slot. We had two open slots when we started. And she just came up and said, I want to speak.
Carl, I'm looking at your lower third, and it seems somehow slightly bare. What would the best URL be for people to go to find your fine programming?
Oh, well, it would be .NET Rocks, .NETROCKS.com.
That I can do. Look at this. In magical, instantaneously, boom!
Little typo.
Snap.
Rorks.
Slightly misspelled.
But hey, I didn't say I'd be, I said it'd be fast, not accurate. All right, there we go. .NET. Rocks.com. Very good. And both
shows.
It's
a real honor to be here, Leo.
Pardon me?
It's a real honor to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And you too, brother. Brother Robert. Brother Richard. Sorry about that. Nice to have you. Let me just fix yours, too. We'll just paste this in down below Richard Campbell's name. I have the technology. Let me see.
And I do a IT podcast also called runasradio.com.
Oh, I like that. What does that mean, run as radio?
Well, run as...
Oh, I get it.
Carl came up with the name.
I like it, run as administrator, but instead you're running as the radio.
Yeah, it's run as radio.
I love it. That's cool. Well, nice to have you both. I appreciate your running over here, so to speak,
sure,
to do the show. Mary Jo and I have been just running through some of the enterprise enhancements for that Microsoft was telling the IT pros about for Windows 8.1.
Yeah, we were talking about Tony, what's his name? Not Tony. Ian McDonald's demo at the start of the keynote where he showed all the enterprise features for Windows Blue. And I don't know what you guys think. I think this is turning into a bigger release than I thought it was going to be. The Blue.
Yeah, they said Windows. Don't call it a service pack, right?
Yeah, yep.
But it's still free. I think that's important for end users to understand.
Yeah, and it does seem to me like it's an enterprise-friendlier version of Windows 8 anyway.
Yeah. So that's interesting because what that tells me is that, which Mary Jo said all along, was that business was not going to be that interested in Windows 8. And Microsoft isn't really responding to consumer dismay as much as trying to woo business users. Does that seem accurate?
I think the businesses always fall behind the consumers in terms of what's hip and what's cool. Most businesses that I know are still using Windows Forms.
Right.
So it's going to take them a long time.
But no end user is going to say, oh, wow, I could tap my laptop to my printer now. that's a bit. Yeah. That's really a business feature, I think.
Their stuff is working. It took them 10 years to get it working. Leave it alone.
Exactly.
Right. All right. Well, let's take a break. Now that you guys are here, I'll give you a chance to catch your breath. I know you ran over here. I do want to talk about the new Snap and more. In fact, there's a video with a tiny cameo from a fella y'all remember called the Start Button. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. And I did mention it's free, but we'll talk about what the upgrade will look like. For you. Mary Jo Foley with Richard Campbell and Carl Franklin of the .NET Rocks and Tablet Show fame. Great to have you both. We're brought to you today by a fabulous sponsor, as always, Audible.com. Audiobooks saved my life. And so as a result, I give Audible free advertising. No, that's not true. But I would. Don't tell them. Because I love Audible so much. In fact, I think frequently we do talk about Audible on our shows, even if they haven't bought an ad. Audible is 150, something like that, 150,000 strong bookstore of audio, the best audiobooks ever. You just saw the audiobook of the year. The Audis, which are kind of like the Oscars of audiobooks, gave Audible a Audi for best book of the year. Colin Firth reading a classic Graham Greene novel, one of my favorite books, called The End of the Affair. You might have seen the movie. Congratulations to Audible for winning that. They also have a list of all the nominees. Many of them are on Audible. Many of them part of this A-list program Audible's doing, getting big-name actors like Claire Danes reading The Handmaid's Tale. and others to read classics, to bring them back to life. And Audible records these in their own studios at the Audible headquarters in Newark, and they really do a nice job of these. Great actors, great books. Here's another one. I can't wait to hear this. Dracula, as acted out, not merely narrated, by Alan Cumming, Tim Curry. I hope he's maybe Frankenstein or whoever visits visits Dracula. I don't know where that, but how that's going to work out. Simon Vance, some of their best narrators. Catherine Kellgren, I love her. John Lee, narrating Frankenstein. So here's the deal I'm going to give you. If you visit audible.com/windows, for free, you could sign up for the Gold account. That's the book a month subscription. And included with that book a month subscription, or it's really a credit a month, but more than 99% of all the books are a single credit. In addition to that credit a month, you'll get a daily subscription to the audio version of the New York Times or Wall Street Journal. You get to pick. So really, this is a great deal. There's so many wonderful books. Dan Brown's newest, Inferno, has just come out on audiobook. If you read Angels and Demons and The Da Vinci Code, you've got to read the newest Robert Langdon mystery, Inferno. I'm told it's actually the best of the four, but we'll have to leave that up to you. So go to audible.com/windows. Sign up for that Gold account. Won't cost you anything. First 30 days are free. First book is free. Cancel anytime in the first 30 days. Pay nothing, but keep the book. I think you're going to want to stick around, because every month you get another great book from Audible's selection of fiction, nonfiction, history, autobiography, thrillers, mysteries. I listen to a lot of science fiction. Oh, this would be good. This looks good. I bet you this is on Paul Thurrott's list to read. American Gun, A History of the U.S. in 10 Firearms. That seems like something, I don't know why, but it seems like something Paul would listen to. Audible.com/windows. That first one is free, but I got to warn you, you're going to get hooked. And we thank them so much for their support. You can listen to it, of course, on everything, including their, they have a nice Metro app for Windows 8. And of course, Windows Phone has the Audible app as well. Mary Jo Foley with us, joined not by Paul Thurrott this week. Paul is still in New Orleans. He's riding on the city of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Illinois Central, Monday morning rail.
You got it. That train to Dedham. Right. It takes a long damn time.
Charles going to break into song.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Oh, so, don't tempt me.
Monday morning. Guitar,
you have a guitar? We could do it at the end.
Great musician.
At the end, you could play us out. Really? I didn't know that.
He should.
Great.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Richard Campbell and Carl Franklin from .NET Rocks and the Tablet Show. It's great to have you both. And runasradio.com for Richard. So let's talk about Snap. We've got you snapped. Will we have this capability to do triple snap like this? Is that one of the new features of Windows Blue?
It is. Yeah.
That's good. Because really, right now, it's only like, what is that? One seventh of the screen? Some weird proportion.
The one third mode?
Yeah. It's not a third, though. It's like a sixth or something. It's
a little less than a third.
Yeah. So are we going to have arbitrary sizes? What are we going to have now?
I don't know, but I like the way it makes my face look thinner.
I'm not talking about on Twit. here's some bald guy to show you.
Yeah, there's Jensen Harris.
Yeah, he's the Windows CUI Experience guy. Team. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they did like a 5-minute video showing you the Blue preview in action.
Good. So this is the whole thing.
Yeah.
This was the thing we talked about last week. I was so excited about. We can now change the background to have our own pictures. We can have a lock screen with our own photos. Look at that. Oh, now we get a double size tile for the start screen. That's good.
Just like Windows Phone. Yep. Yeah,
that's nice. Really? Can it go that big in Windows Phone?
You can have a small, medium, and large on Windows Phone.
That's right. All right. So now we have small, medium, large, and extra large on Windows 8. alphabetization of the apps. Is that new? That's something Windows Phone has. If you go to enough apps, it will start organizing them. Oh, by most used. That's nice. Yeah. By category. That'll help. Although, really, everybody just types the first few letters of the app, right? I mean, how many people really?
You'd be surprised. I think, Mama Franklin still litters her desktop with everything that she can possibly stuff on there.
This is to keep her from doing that, right?
Well, she can't remember what to type. That's why. So she has to look and respond.
Pictures of. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So most used would be great for Mama Franklin. Yeah. There's Audible right there. Hey, nice. Netflix and Hulu Plus all together. That categorization, we've seen that before, and naming of those. That's not new, but... I like it. Accent color, background images. Lots more flexibility in terms of the start screen's background.
You know, from a developer's perspective, that the snapping was really handy because he knew you basically had to build your app in two different sizes.
Oh.
And now with more variety in Snap, it's going to be a little more challenging to make your app flexible enough to deal with all those size changes.
I presume at Build they'll talk about how you would want to do that. I mean, we have to face that on the mobile platform.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's got to be, you know, there's tools that allow you to flow stuff. And
I really like the boot straight to desktop option personally, because that's where I hang out most of the time. Yeah.
The pros like you and Paul, who really want to use Windows as a desktop operating system, will, I think, are very happy about that.
But I had no problem adjusting to Windows 8. You know, a lot of people complained about it, and I get it, that it's really the Grandma Franklins and, you know, the people who are more set in their ways that are going to have more of a problem with it. But I used Slick Run for the longest time.
Right.
So I'm used to typing a few letters and hitting enter to get where I'm going.
What did he just do? He just changed Marilyn Monroe to teal?
He's showing on the new search experience how when you search, it's going to mix in results from the web and your SkyDrive and all that. And you're going to get it presented like this.
That's neat.
Yep.
Oh, we talked about that. That's right, last week. Yeah. We're watching a video that Microsoft prepared, and I presume showed at...
You know what's funny? They didn't show this video at TechEd, but they did show it at Computex this week, I believe. Okay. Or at least they released it at that time. Yeah.
So this is most of the features, at least most of the UI features, not the things like the NFC printing.
Right.
Most of the new UI features.
I like the 50-50 view that you're going to be able to do with Snap. I'm excited about that. And so here he's opening his mail, and then it snaps the picture off to the side automatically, which is pretty cool.
Oh, interesting. Is that the picture from the email? Oh, look at in arbitrary sizes. And this is what you were a little worried about, Carl, with for developers. They're going to have to – well, I presume there'll be primitives for reflowing everything.
Yeah, Richard was saying it's just going to be a little more challenging now. But, you know, in a way – having a dynamic size is a relief because we can just use a calculation rather than if this mode, if that mode, if this mode.
It's programmatic. Yeah. And you know, this is what web designers have been doing for years with responsive design. I think it's just – I don't think it'll be too hard to implement. I don't know.
That's the norm for Windows, too. You were building a form.
Right.
And it had to be resizable.
That's a good point. Windows, you had no idea. Right. Right. All right. Well, I'm excited. I'll tell these guys, you know this, Mary Jo. I was ready to blast Linux out of my Acer S7. And then I heard about Windows 8.1. I said, well, I'm going to wait. I'm going to try Windows 8.1.
It's been 9 months coming. I thought it'd be faster, to be honest.
Wow, did you?
I think Microsoft fought this. Don't you think that there was a lot of internal struggle over, as Paul called it, taking a mulligan on Windows 8? I imagine this was not an easy thing politically to do, and that perhaps didn't we get that impression from the blog post that it was marketing that it insisted on this, and the Windows 8 team was perhaps a little less enthusiastic. I don't know. Did you get that sense at TechEd?
I'll let Mary Jo answer, but I got my own opinions about that.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
We don't take turns here.
I sort of think that, you know, the corporate ego got bruised.
Yeah.
You know, it almost seems like the stuff we heard Sanofsky saying was just almost like, you know, we're sticking by our guns, you know?
Yeah.
All you people out there don't really know what you want.
And you're wrong. And users are wrong. And then marketing says, no, they're not. They're not buying these. You better fix it fast.
Yeah. At the same time, there was this huge outcry. You remember when the ribbon came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2007, and people hated it. Yeah.
Users are often wrong.
Yeah. Well, but, and it came around. Now you couldn't take it away from it.
Right. Mm. So I think that, and Sinofsky even implied this in his post-Microsoft blog post of last week that, or actually it was a tweet, where he said, you got to test with users, but you can't always trust what they say. There's stuff that people like because they just don't like change, or hate because they just don't like change.
Right. Well, and vision is bad. Vision too.
Right. And then there's stuff that is genuinely irritating to users, enough so that they don't buy the product. Yeah. And that can kill a product.
Yep.
So you can't fully ignore users. It's hard. I mean, you know, we do a web redesign for the TWiT website, and we get vicious, vicious comments, and we have to make the decision, is that going to keep people – is that really an issue? Are people going to stop visiting our website, or is it just people are disgruntled by change and they'll get used to it? And that's a fine line, and I can understand the debates, the internal debates about that. God knows I still have the knife wounds from our our battles.
Yep. You know? Yeah, it was interesting talking to people at TechEd about the changes when they showed them for Windows Blue, because I think you have some people who go, great, finally, they're listening to users. And now my IT, you know, I'm the IT guy, and now I can kind of try to roll this out to my team with less screaming. But then you have the others who say, you know what, Microsoft had to make a bold step. They should have just stuck to their guns, and they shouldn't have done this. And I hear from both pretty equally, I'd say.
Digital Man in our chat room says it's like that Homer Simpson episode where he asked his brother to help him build a car. I don't know what that means.
I'm like, what?
I missed that one.
Okay.
But I could tell you this: if he put the accelerator on the other side of the clutch pedal, then that would be a bad thing, right? Some changes are not good. Keep the brake pedal and the accelerator where they are.
Well, there is the old misquote from Henry Ford. If I'd asked the customer what he wanted, he would have said faster horses.
That's a misquote?
Apparently he didn't actually say that.
Oh, that's such a good quote.
But it's such a good line.
It's a great one.
Yeah. It's too good, really. Obviously, it's made up. It's just too good. It's too right on. Yeah. Faster horses. So what are the upgrade policies? Let's talk about that. You wrote an article, Mary Jo, about that.
Yep. So I went to one of the sessions at TechEd, which was entitled Windows RT in the Enterprise. So I was very curious what they were going to talk about there, since there isn't much Windows RT in the enterprise. And the Microsoft guy ended up talking about, here's how we're going to make it work when the preview comes out. So what's going to happen is you're going to get a Windows update. You're going to be prompted, hey, there's this version of Windows Blue available in the store.
Oh, really? For the preview?
Yep. For the preview.
Wow.
And then you're going to go to the store and you're going to like read the terms and conditions and decide, yes, I want that, or no, I don't want that. Click on it. It'll install on your Windows RT or your Windows 8 machine. And the other thing he revealed during the session was, if you do this on either of those platforms, if and when you decide to go to RTM, when that's out, you're going to have to reinstall your apps. So your data and your settings will carry, but your apps won't. So if you're on a Windows 8 device, you test the preview, and then you want to go to RTM, you're going to have to go back and reinstall all your Metro apps your desktop apps. Yeah,
Metro apps aren't so bad because I presume there is a bill of goods
there
that
is.
You just click a button and it reinstalls.
Right.
But desktop,
they remember what you bought. I know.
You might have to get a disk. You might have to go to a website. It may not be that easy.
Yeah. And on RT, it's just going to make you reinstall the Metro style apps.
Yeah, because that's all you got.
Right. Well, you've got the Office apps that are desktop, but you're going to have to reinstall. You're just going to have to reinstall Metro from RT. So
to clarify, if this will happen sometime in the next month, right?
Right. So preview comes out on June 26th.
Okay.
For RT.
20 days from now, you'll go to you'll see a thing in your store that says, "Hey, would you like to try Windows 8.1?"
Yep.
If you do it on, then that's for RT, not for Windows 8.
But no, for both.
For both.
8 and RT. You're going to have, I believe it's going to be an optional update under Windows Update.
For 8.
And for RT.
Oh, also. So it won't be in the store. It'll be an update.
Well, you'll get, it's a little hard to explain this because I'm not 100% sure. I heard it in words and I didn't see it in visuals. But he said you're going to be prompted through Windows Update. You're going to click on that and go to the store. And from the store is where it's actually going to download the bits.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's because they have a delivery mechanism built in. So update will say, hey, there's a new version. Do you want it? And so the caveat is, if you do this on RT or Windows 8 Pro, fine. Everything will come over and you'll be running along. And then when the final bits come out, you will have to reinstall all your apps in order to install the final of 8.1. That is just weird.
Yeah. If you don't, by the way, I should make this really clear. If you don't install the preview, you're not going to have to do this. So if you're using Windows 8 or Windows
RT,
that's
why it's weird.
And you never do the preview, you will be able to go directly there without reinstalling your apps to the final build.
Boy, I hope they're really clear about this with people.
I wrote about it and publicized it. I'm going to publicize it again because hopefully when you get prompted in the store, it's going to say, by the way, if you do this, you're going to have to reinstall your apps. Guys.
And it's weird because you don't have to do it if you just go to the RTM. If you just go to the final bits. It's only if you try the preview first.
Yes.
So it's got to be some piece related to the installer that's causing problems for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wondered why. They never said why.
Right.
Yeah.
And it won't happen. It could
be just testing too, you know, actually making sure that all the software migrates properly. That's a huge amount of testing. So I wonder if that's part of the problem. It's just like they've got months of testing to do before they're going to know for sure that apps are going to migrate properly. And so for the preview, they just haven't done it yet.
So they're just going to migrate them and see what happens. Well, you know
that's
what? We don't know what's going to happen. So let's just try it. Okay,
who first put
Mentos in a Diet Coke said, "Hey, what could possibly go wrong?" They're just going to try it. That doesn't make sense though. And then
right now they're in that testing sequence, and it takes a lot of time to do that testing. And so
and they want to get these bits out now.
You know, with that caveat that you're going to have to do some software reinstalls.
Right.
It's fair. That's the price of being a previewer.
Right. But everybody's going to want to preview it. I know I am.
Mary Jo, did they say anything about the upgrade policy of Windows 8 Enterprise?
No, they just said Windows 8 and Windows RT and generically, and they didn't say anything about the different SKUs.
But as an IT guy, I'm not going to put the preview on any of my work machines.
No, of course not. But I can guarantee you'll put it on your personal machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as will I. So it's good. Those of us who live the La Vida Loca, we'll have to remember. Well,
your RT apps should you said the RT apps will reinstall automatically?
Have to reinstall those too.
But there'll be a some sort of bill of goods that will let you do that with a click,
It's good because they know which ones you've installed.
Since you bought these, would you like to reinstall those? I would hope. It's
too.
The desktop that gets the sticky wicket because you might have a line of business apps. Yep. You might have all sorts of stuff. You may have apps from Adobe that require you to, enter a counter or something.
Serial numbers and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I've already activated this app way too many times. You're obviously
clearly
under arrest.
Clearly you're a pirate.
So you're going to have to pay some more now.
You laugh, but you know perfectly well that's exactly how some apps operate.
That's what happens. It's software extortion.
Yeah, yeah. The counter just went over 100. Okay, so there's the upgrade policy. Let's talk about Intune Wave E.
Yep.
For those of you who are not regular listeners, we talk a lot about Intune because it's a really nice feature. Even for home users as much as enterprise. Mm-hmm. So what's new with Intune?
Yeah, so this is Windows Intune is the Microsoft device management service that they have, security management service. They had the most recent version come out late last year, Intune Wave D. Those are just code names, Wave E, Wave D. They just call it Intune. And they've got a new one that they're working on right now. Wave E is probably the code name. What it's going to do is get more tightly integrated with Configuration Manager 2012 R2, which is the System Center Blue. So this is Intune Blue with System Center Blue. And they've added a bunch of new capabilities so that you can do things if you have both of these together, like selective wipe that we talked about earlier, expand the availability of management settings across all of the different devices that you can manage. And I think this also is going to add the native Android client support. Right now they support Android through Exchange ActiveSync. And I think they're going to change that with this coming Intune release. I could tell you there's no public preview of this coming, they've said. And it's just going to show up in final form around the same time as everything else in the blue wave. So probably like this fall, maybe September, October timeframe. So all of this is coming with Wave E. And they didn't talk a lot about at Intune at the show. I don't know if Richard or Carl know more about this at all.
We actually saw a 5-minute presentation during Speaker Idol on Intune.
So you know a lot about this.
Well, you know more than I do. He used a good metaphor, which is management in the cloud. You know? Mm-hmm. Was it SCOM in the cloud? Is that what he said, Richard?
Yeah, system center in the cloud. You know,
system center.
Because system center is not for the weak. Like, that's a very difficult package of software, fairly hefty size enterprises to run it. They used to have a System Center Essentials, but they never upgraded it from 2010. But the idea that you would have that kind of management for your home machines or for a small business is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And able to deploy apps.
Say that again.
Yeah.
And it's $6 a month per machine.
Yeah, $6 a month, right. It's a subscription service, right? So that's why it's more interesting for people who don't want to. You don't have to use it in conjunction with System Center. You can do it without. And if you do, it takes a lot of the management headache out because it's running as a service and Microsoft's basically running the back end, right? So in theory, if you're a smaller company, that might work for you.
One of the criticisms Mark Manassi brought up was that, you know, the elephant in the room is that a bunch of services that you were getting for free, now you're paying $6 a month for, but mm-hmm. That was his point, not mine. I don't run that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's part of this whole idea of using these cloud services is if you're not going to spend the money to invest in full-time people that run that infrastructure for you, here's a really low-cost OpEx way to get an awful lot of capability that, you know, stuff's going to get patched and cared for and fixed rather than you have to take the machine in or call in an expert or learn yourself.
$6 a mm-hmm. month per machine is a lot cheaper than an IT pro.
Yeah, sure is. For the salary of an IT pro, you can cover a lot of machines for a long time.
Right. You may still want an IT pro. Speaking for IT pros everywhere. Hey, we're going
to
take
lots to do, right?
There
machines
is
not our main job anymore. Right. There are other things to do.
Well, and I think a lot of, probably most IT pros would like to have Intune installed anyway. It just simplifies your life.
Oh, no, it's Christmas presents for me.
Yeah.
It just cuts down on my annoying phone calls from family.
Yeah. I like it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Computex. Taiwan had a conference as well, and new computers showing up there, the Haswell chip. We'll talk about what happened at Computex in just a little bit. We're talking about Windows, as we do every week on Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com and joining us from .NET Rocks and the Tablet Show, Richard Campbell and Carl Franklin. It's good to have you guys as Paul heads north slowly by mule train, I believe. He's bringing back a bunch of Windows Surface tablets. $99 each. He'll be selling them at the local Dedham Mall. If you want to stop by, we'll get you the time and date. Did he get one? Do you know?
No, neither of us. Because
the line was too damn long.
2 hours to stand in line. Did you guys get them, Richard or Carl? Did you guys get any of
them? No, we were working pretty much the whole time, so we couldn't take 15 minutes to go.
You know who got one?
Line, let alone 2 hours.
You know who got one? The where I know where you got them shoes guy.
Yeah,
he got one. So that's good.
Yeah, I got mine, but that's because I was in really early. I do Tech Ed 101. I actually came in on Saturday. So Sunday morning, before it was even open, because I had a staff badge, and I'm not a Microsoft employee, so I'm allowed to have it. I was able to get it. I think I was like second to pick it up.
Oh, no line or anything.
No line or anything. Oh.
By the way, that is not Rick Warren. It's Richard Campbell. I didn't say so, but apparently the chat room thinks we have the famous preacher Rick Warren. In talking about Windows.
I'm a bit more liberal,
Rick Warren. Everybody's more liberal.
You do look a little like him, though, I got to say.
And he actually is an ordained minister.
Are you? In the Universal Life Church.
That's right. Yeah. Universal Life.
Yeah. Me too.
Anson and Ann, the Back of Rolling Stone.
I have a dog that's a minister in the Universal Life Church. It's, he can marry people. It's hard to get him to say, you know, you may kiss the bride. But other than that, he's very good at it. We're going to take.
I've done a few geek weddings.
Have now. You? Me too. I did one. Yeah. I did one. And then I realized this is a bad precedent. And I never did another one.
I didn't actually marry Carl. I was there. He married his wife.
You didn't ask your buddy to marry you, huh?
By the power invested in me by the internet.
Yeah. Basically, because you can get that ordination online.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, it's probably a storefront in somewhere in Visalia or something, you know, that you're sending $5 to and you get the thing. Let's see here. We are brought to you today by our good friends at Citrix. We had a good time yesterday. Michael Guarnieri and the Citrix crew came up to visit. I'm a big Citrix fan, and they have such a range of products. But I guess for Citrix, and you know this if you're an enterprise, it all started with remote access. Citrix Enterprise is still considered a leader in remote access. In fact, it was written by a guy from IBM, the OS2 team, who came over to help Microsoft do the NT kernel. I think it was a 3.5.1. A guy named Ed Iacobucci, good friend, really did a great job. Citrix made its name. He learned the ins and outs of NT, and ever since they've done the best remote access. But they have a consumer version of the same thing called GoToMyPC that's fabulous for anybody who needs to do remote access without bothering Richard, without bothering the IT department, without saying, oh, I need to punch a hole in the firewall. This just works. In fact, if you don't believe me, visit GoToMyPC right now on your work computer. Well, you can do it on any computer you want remote access to. Click the orange try it free button, use the offer code Windows, and you'll have it for 30 days, and you can try it. The best part, though, is, of course you can go home and use your laptop or desktop to access your office PC, but you can also do it on a smartphone or a tablet. And I tell you, running a Windows operating system from your iPad or using your Samsung Galaxy to open a Macintosh is a treat. It's a trip. It's wild. You could do anything you could do at work. It basically turns any computer, smartphone, or tablet into your office computer. Send and receive email, run any program, access any network resource. Your OLAP cubes available on your iPad. Total mobility, total freedom. Very easy to use. They use NAT traversal and SSL, so it's both easy to set up and very secure. I want you to try it. Go to mypc.com. Click the orange try it free button. Enter the promo code Windows, and I think you'll be very happy. And by the way, get the free apps before you leave the office, on your iPhone, iPad, Android phone. Really, really awesome. Awesome. Go to mypc.com. We thank Citrix for their support and encourage you to visit. I was talking to Michael Guarnieri at Citrix yesterday saying, you got to make it easy for people just to install everything you do because they do so many great things for enterprise, from GoToAssist for the IT department, ShareFile, GoToMyPC. What a range of products they have. Podio. It goes on and on. They're really, really great. And he said, yeah, we're working on that. We want to make a unified offering. So try it right now. GoToMyPC.com. Offer code Windows. Windows Weekly is on the air. We are talking with Mary Jo Foley, of course, as always, from allaboutmicrosoft.com. And she's brought a couple of cohorts from Tech. Look at how that snap worked. Oh, that's so cool. Awesome. That's a boom. The new Windows 8 snap. joining us from the .NET Rocks and Tablet Show, Richard Campbell and Carl Franklin. Great to have you guys.
Great to be here.
Yeah. Mary Jo, by the way, worships at the Church of Beer, beerchurch.com. And coming up,
I know that.
Coming up, your beer of the week.
I won't tell you who they worship, these two.
Is it the Church of Vodka Collins? I don't know.
Oh, no. It's the Church of Kentucky. Bourbon.
Bourbon, baby.
Yep. Church of Bourbon.
The brown liquor. The brown stuff.
I actually was in a van with Richard and Carl last year.
I don't
drinking
know if you should admit that. I think that's
4 a.m.
That's very. I'm sure there's a story there. I don't know. I just don't know if I want to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a very innocent story. We were on the road trip. Mary Jo was a guest. We did a .NET Rocks road trip to go for the Visual Launch, Visual Studio 2012 launch.
Wow.
And 3 months later, we got to go home.
We had a developer in here the other day who was singing the praises of .NET, but he uses Xamarin or Xamarin. I don't know.
Xamarin.
Yeah. Miguel de Caza's product. And he was singing the praises of F sharp, C sharp. So you agree that's a decent way to do crossplatform.net?
Yeah, it's increasingly becoming the way. I mean, especially for C sharp developers, with one language you can write apps for iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows 8, and they're slowly and surely getting all the design stuff in there too. So you can design iOS apps without having to use Xcode.
Isn't that great?
You know, yeah, they're just
Miguel's brilliant.
They're just taking over.
I think he's brilliant. I really love him.
He is brilliant.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Computex. That's the big Taiwanese hardware show. And as expected, Intel revealed Haswell on Saturday. That's the fourth generation core processor, featuring primarily on-chip memory controller, a better battery life by about 50%, and much improved onboard graphics, apparently. Did we see a lot of Windows notebooks jumping to the Haswell platform? I would guess. Anything interesting?
Yeah. I gave you guys a link in the show notes where Microsoft put up a slideshow of some of the machines that got announced at Computex. And there were a lot of them. I don't know. I was flipping through and I'm like, you know, I still don't see my dream machine here. But there's some interesting ones and some weird ones, like the Iconia W3 with that giant keyboard. Did you see that one, Leo? It's got a little tablet.
I can't figure out, because I'm looking at the keyboard and it's big. Is that a phone-sized tablet? I mean, that looks weird.
It's a regular-sized tablet, I believe. Okay. It might be a mini.
Maybe
I can't remember
if that was an 8-inch?
That may be the 8-inch.
We'd heard about 8 inches, so there were a number of 8 inches there, huh?
Yeah, there are a few. Some of them made by OEM. What do they call them? ODMs, original design manufacturers. I don't know. I saw, you know, some new Acers.
This Vivo PC was very interesting.
I was just going to mention that. Yeah. That looks very cool. It's very small.
It looks like a Mac Mini, or I can't tell how big it is. About the size of a sheet of paper, or a little less than a sheet of A4 paper, they say. Spun metal finish, which is gorgeous, and presumably gives you conductivity to keep the heat dissipation up. Two USB 3 ports, 802.11ac. This is obviously a home theater, I would guess, home theater PC.
Reminds me of my portable data center. I took the old AOpen made a version of this machine years ago. It was basically the mobile chipset, nowhere near as much horsepower as that machine has. And I was actually able to fit six of them in a 20-inch rollaway bag with all the networking gear on it, so I could do demonstrations of load balance.
Oh, that's neat. That's really cool.
Yeah, I called the bag secondary inspection because that's what the TSA called.
What is that in there? There's six of them. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to disassemble them and explode them in the corner. I like this.
Trying to take the bag apart. Yeah. I stick it through the machine and watch the guy flip.
And this is Haswell on this, of course. I don't think anybody announced anything that's not Haswell at this point.
Some of them may have, but mostly like either Haswell, or because Haswell, I think, is going to come in waves too, right?
Right,
like there's all the different Haswell, the Core i3, i5, i7. So I think most of these were Haswell. I don't think anybody announced the new Atom stuff yet. And there were no Windows RT announcements, but I think that's just because they're waiting for Blue and for the new Qualcomm.
Right.
Stuff.
But it really makes you wonder about the ARM machines for Windows at all when you look at how good Haswell is power-wise. Like, that was the whole argument for ARM in the first place, was we need someone with a better battery life and you know, lower heat factor. It looks like Intel's come through. Why would you use ARM?
I remember at least one company announcing an Intel phone based on Haswell.
Oh, yeah. There was. Yeah. There was.
So I think, is this a NUC? Do you know? Do you guys know? Is this one of, I think this must be a NUC. we'll just drop that. We'll leave it at that. Intel was promoting this NUC platform as a super small motherboard, a new motherboard form factor. And it looked like that. So I think NUC rhymes with puck. The ZenBook Infinity Ultrabook. I love this. This is a gorgeous piece of hardware. I've always liked the ZenBook. Gorilla Glass. native damage resistance on the lid and around the keyboard. This is interesting. Dell convertible. A lot of companies did convertibles, right? Mm-hmm. They call it quad HD. On an 11-inch screen, 2560 by 1440.
Wow.
Yep. I was really pleased to see fewer 1366 by 768. Everybody kind of realized, even on the smaller screens, you got to go higher res.
What do you guys think of the tabletop things, you know, like the IDM?
I had the Lenovo.
Yeah, that gigantic. Yeah.
I can't think. My basic feeling was this is to impress the neighbors. I can't think of any other reason. Come on over. We'll play air hockey on my giant tablet.
Well, that's what it is. It's a shared gaming thing.
That's how they're pushing
out. I really, really love the original Surface. The whole idea of being able to put our phones down and have them just sort of the photos spill out, and we can just.
That never happened.
Back and forth.
Did that ever happen?
No, it didn't, but it certainly could. I thought that was a great vision, though.
If you could tap your laptop to your printer and have it print, I'm sure you could put your phone on the. It's like a Surface.
The only reason it didn't happen is the thing was $15,000.
Well, that might have had something to do with it. Yeah.
And it was a table. It was heavy. It was a table, right? They never really turned it into a tablet.
In Microsoft's defense, and those are four words you'll never hear me say. Three words. In Microsoft's defense, a lot of that technology did migrate down into Surface. I mean,
some of it did. Yeah.
Some of it.
It did.
Still can't put my phone on it.
Check out the ID, what IDM has done, or IDM, I'm not sure how you say it, but if you go to IDEUM.com/redefined, they have a multi-touch table that's a 46-inch coffee table, and it looks like a coffee table, not like a big box. Certainly looks portable, and it does all the gestures, and
looks like
there's an API for it.
Looks like the first Pong machine that I spent a lot of time at in a bar in 1977. Yeah.
But I could use this, you know. I could make controls out of this, so I could, you know, I work in the recording studio, right? So,
wouldn't that be cool?
I was looking for stuff that I can just get rid of my desktop, you know, my actual desk, and write software that I could use that way.
I got to point out, it is $10,000. It's still not. Okay. Still not. Yeah. But for a recording studio, you know, that's where you saw Surface tables. You saw them in hotels and casinos, places with enough money to buy, you know, something like that as, I guess, kind of cool. I remember a cruise ship that had three Surfaces on the cruise ship, and they'd put, like, where you're going and stuff like that on there. But, yeah, now, is this tough enough? I could see you could put a little demi-tass on it. Could you put, you know, real stuff on it, or is it, you know?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, for $10,000, it better be a good coffee table.
It's got 60 touch points. That's cool. That's could. You and your family can all touch it. Look, there's the air hockey
and there's
demo.
Pong. There, yeah, that's Pong.
It is a Pong table. Museums, libraries, science centers, corporate lobbies. Yeah, see, you can see they're going for that same.
Yeah,
that Surface.
I like that idea.
It's half as much as a Surface table. What do they call the Surface table now?
Pixel Sense.
Pixel Sense.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes perfect Pixel Sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, here's an innovative design from Dell. This is the new Haswell mini tower case.
Wow, I've never seen one like that before.
Thanks for putting that in the slideshow. Here's the HP Elite Pad, the Envy. Is this one of those big ass
20 inches, yep.
Yeah.
20
inches. You know, you put that as it dwarfs the keyboard next to the little Acer that the keyboard dwarfs it. It shows you the variety of form factors. This is interesting. This is the Split X2 from HP. It's a Windows 8 solution.
And these are the designs I like. I like a detachable keyboard.
Right. 13 inches,
though. The whole computer's in the screen.
So this is really a laptop with a detachable keyboard.
Right. And then they stuff the keyboard full of batteries, so you get these epic battery life.
Right. Yeah.
The rest is all rehash, Leo.
Yeah, we've seen all this. We've seen all this before.
Yeah, Colin says in the chat room that one that with the giant keyboard is an 8-inch. That's an 8-inch. Yeah. One of the 8-inches. Yeah.
Yeah, the rest is Lumias and Razer. The Razer's kind of interesting. This is the Razer Blade. Good name. It's a gaming laptop. 14 inches. Haswell also. Good. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. So there's a lot of hardware that was new, and
PC market needs to be jumpstarted. They need something.
It does. Yeah.
Some excitement. And so I think it's good. This is a really good time for companies to try alternative form factors.
Well, and I noticed when we were talking about last quarter results that it was, while the PC market shrunk overall, Lenovo held their own. They didn't lose. They actually gained market share because they didn't lose any sales. And when you looked at their lineup with the yoga and the Carbon One, they were building the good machines.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I think you're building the right hardware, people will buy it. You just have to build good hardware.
So that's interesting because Paul Thurrott's kind of thesis was that the netbook is what's really hurt the PC marketplace because it lowered expectations for price. And people just thought, well, we'll just get cheap hardware, and then they were disappointed. It sounds like what you're saying, Richard, and I think you're probably right, is that there's still plenty of room at the high end if you design the right product.
I tend to agree. I also think in some ways the tablet saved the laptop.
Right.
Because it allowed us to put the price back up a bit so that you got a higher quality machine.
Right.
You know, when you look at it, it started making them nice. The Air set the standard. I use one of those Asus Ultrabooks. Now I understand the Apple fanboy. It's this aluminum.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It's so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's worth spending $1,000 on.
Yep.
Or more. This is
you can slice tomatoes with it.
This is by the way, Apple will, I'm sure, announce Haswell-based Airs on Monday. So,
yeah,
they'll be in there too. Office giveaways. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So the other thing that Microsoft announced at Computex was what we had been hearing rumors of for a while, which is Outlook RT. So finally, a real Outlook. It's going to be a desktop version of Outlook is coming to Windows RT. I'm so excited about that. Actually, I was like, yes, because, you know, Paul had seen it out in the wild. He had seen a few people kind of secretly sporting it. And he's like, yeah, it's out there. People inside and outside Microsoft are both testing it. And I had heard they might be delaying it until 2014. And I was like, oh, man, I hope not. I really hope not. And they announced it this week and they said, when you get the blue preview on June 26th, you're going to be able to get Outlook RT as part of it.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is good news. So in two weeks.
I know. 3 weeks. So you'll get the preview of RT. And then when Windows 8.1 comes out this fall, Outlook will be part of it, just like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote are for free.
I've thought quite a bit about why the mail client in RT and in Windows 8 is so bad.
Why? Do tell.
Well, the architecture of RT is such that, you know, apps don't really run in the background because they have to, you know, they're going to suck up a lot of processing power and that kind of stuff. And mail is one of those things that it has to be constantly downloading mail in order to be effective. And so, In lieu of that, what you get is when you go to the mail client, it wakes up and it's like, oh, I got so much to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to go download all your mail. And by the way, just wait for about 10 minutes before I get around to doing that. And so what you really want is some sort of daemon that downloads your mail in the background, or at least the headers, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that you have something to look at constantly. Your phone does that. But I think the architecture of RT is a little bit of the problem.
Yeah, I think this new mail is supposed to take advantage of like the connected standby. So it should be, you know, Outlook will be putting this in your, all your messages will be flowing in periodically so that you'll have them up to date when you turn it on.
That's actually one feature of Haswell that's really key. I presume ARM has something like this. But Intel made a big deal on this with Haswell that it brings together all of these requests into bursts. This is something you do see on some ARM platforms, especially on phones, where so many things are waking up and saying, "I want some mail," and that your phone just stays awake and the battery goes kablooey.
Right.
Yeah.
And Apple's figured this out with their power nap feature, where they've got it so that the OS kind of consolidates these requests into chunks, so that the laptop doesn't remain up all the time. And I think that Haswell solved that. Microsoft must have included some code to do that in RT.
Yeah, well, they have to because, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it kills battery life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that you either have no battery or you have the experience we have now, which
no mail.
No mail.
Which would you prefer, battery or mail? You get your choice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But, and maybe Outlook will be gentler and kinder in that regard as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah,
I hope so, too. Oh, yeah. But, you know, a couple of people have asked me, does this mean mail goes away on Windows RT? It does not.
Okay.
You can still use mail. If you are one of the five people who like it, you still can use it. So rest assured, it's not going away.
Mail is Outlook Express.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of.
And yep. Look how, I mean, they still have Windows Live Mail.
No, and you know what?
Like Outlook, I was going to say, it's more like Outlook Express's special brother. You
know. The short bus Outlook Express. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but, you know, it's, for people who are just using their, like, say, their Surface RT just for, you know, watch movies and just, they don't want to be in, like, power mode and mail like we do. It's, you know, mail is fine. It's fine. It's what it is.
It's what it is.
And yeah. The other thing they said, too, which is was very interesting, and I'm dying to hear what Carl and Richard think on this one. So they announced at Computex as well that on smaller Windows 8 tablets, so anything under 10-inch in size, they're going to now start preloading for free Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook. A few people have been saying, like, why would you want to run any of those on a 7-inch Windows 8 tablet? But they've said they're going to do this. So what do you guys think? Do you think it's a good idea? You think it's going to win anybody over? Or you think it's kind of like, why are they doing this?
I think, well, some of the best. Go ahead, Richard.
I do think that Windows sells with Office. The two things have to go together. And yeah. I think it's pretty tough to charge anyone on a 7-inch tablet for Windows, yeah. For Office.
True.
Because it is awfully. But, you know, I've got it on my Windows phone.
Yeah,
I can
that's true.
Word, Docs, PowerPoint, like it's everywhere else. Why wouldn't it be there too?
One of the best PowerPoint presentations I ever saw was created on an iPad. So,
but the touch targets are. Wait a minute, that's that ad. There's no PowerPoint on an iPad.
Yeah, no. It was a presentation. It wasn't a PowerPoint.
It was a keynote presentation.
It was a presentation.
Okay.
It was created with a, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that's that ad. I know that. There's no PowerPoint on iPad. I saw it on a Microsoft ad.
All right.
Yeah. But it was an amazing presentation, and it was done on an iPad.
Yeah. That's because they were using Keynote or Prezi or some superior form.
Yeah.
The problem I have really with getting Office, even on my Surface RT, is the touch targets are so small that it's very hard to.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, I know you can make the cells bigger in Excel and stuff, but you still got that little tiny close button. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just hard to hit those.
I really do want to see what a Metro version of Office looks like.
Well, you're going to see that pretty soon, you know.
It looks like Notepad. I mean,
well, have you seen the OneNote Metro? That's an amazing, good-looking product. It really sort
looking.
Of previews the future. And next-generation ribbon.
Right, like the round ribbon. Yeah.
Yep.
That's
radial
cool.
Dial. Yep, the radial dial.
No, I think that they did some thinking on that. And I would expect that an Office for an 8-inch would use some of those things.
You'd hope.
Otherwise, you need a stylus.
Well, you maybe could have a stylus because this is we're talking about Windows 8, right? And not RT. So,
yeah. That was another thing I enjoyed at Computex is all the crazy ways people found to attach a stylus. So there's
like how?
Well, there's one that he plugs in. There's a little stylus holder that plugs into the USB port.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wrong.
I don't understand. I guess they can or don't want to build a little stylus holder in the thing, and so even Microsoft has the attachable stylus, which is
so now you gotta, you know, should I use my mouse or should I put the stylus holder in there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm running out of USB ports, and because the stylus holder is in there.
They could just do what the bank does, put that little silver chain on there. That'd be fine.
Yeah. How about Velcro?
Velcro!
Yeah, that would be cool.
Then they could do a whole new ad. Instead of the click ad, they could have the rip ad.
Yeah. Click and rip.
It's the little fixations that are the best sometimes.
Simple.
Yeah.
Hey, it was good enough for NASA. It's good enough for Windows.
So all of this begs to me the question now that we know, you know, Outlook RT is here. We had heard that was coming. Mm. And I wonder if they're getting ready to come out with Office for iPad and Office for iOS.
Don't we know that that's not till next year, or was that just?
Well, that was in the same roadmap that I had Outlook RT not till 2014. Ah. So I'm like, wow, either that roadmap's out of date or they're speeding things up and maybe it'll come sooner than they have it on that roadmap.
Although, as I mentioned, this is the big differentiator, one of the big differentiators, but you can't do PowerPoint on an iPad.
Exactly.
Because Microsoft won't let you.
You could do it as a web app, right? PowerPoint web app, right. Word web app, but yeah.
I mean, really, I'm sure there's no technical reason they haven't released it. It's just a marketing thing.
Yeah, I think they exist already. I think all of those exist.
I'm sure the Surface team is saying, over our dead body, are you going to release Office for the iPad?
Yeah, I wonder. I do wonder.
It would be great.
It would be great. I think they really should do this. I do. Yeah.
And you know there's demand because every Samsung Galaxy phone, for instance, comes with Polaris Office or some form of software so you can read Office documents. But people want this. That's for sure. You got to have it.
Well, and I think we're all better off when Microsoft lets their teams build in as many environments as possible. It makes better product.
Right.
Yep.
Well, it's more money for Microsoft too. This is something you sell. You're not giving this away.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, Dave Weiner had a term for this. It was a good term. The question is, do you lose more business on Surface, or do you make it up in selling products for iOS and Android?
Right. Someone's doing that math at Microsoft right now.
Weiner's position was always do the extra products. In the long run, it's always better for your business. It's diversification. It's exposing more people to Microsoft. It's always better. In the short run, it might hurt Surface, but in the long run, it's always better.
So how long do you think it's going to be before Microsoft starts giving Windows away for free?
Yeah, I wonder.
Really? Why?
You think that'll ever happen?
I think that
why
could
would
happen
they? That's
someday.
Their bread and butter.
Not really is anymore. It's not their bread and butter. Yeah.
You're saying because they're a hardware company, they practically are. What was it? It was $30 to upgrade.
Well, they're turning into a services company,
right?
And a device company.
Oh yeah, that's right. It says that on the webpage. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So
then, just give it away.
Do the Android thing, you know.
I class that in the same category as John C. Dvorak saying that. Apple would start putting Windows on their Macintoshes. Something about hell freezing over comes to mind.
I don't know. I could see them doing something like a subscription thing.
Of course, I could see them doing that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I get what Carl's saying, though, because that you just say, hey, we're a devices and services company now. So, you know, just like the Chromebook, right? Like, hey, we're going to give you some hardware. And like, if you want to use it, you better subscribe to our services.
That's such a cultural shift.
They're not the same company they were. They are so different
this
now.
This is the company that's motto, this mission was a computer on every desk running Microsoft software. Yep. I guess they didn't say for free or for paid. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Well, I don't think they'll ever give Office away, but Windows, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, once you're a hardware company, it's more feasible.
Right. Yep.
You couldn't do it when you didn't have hardware.
No.
Although, I mean, I'm not convinced that they're really turning into a hardware company either.
I don't think it's a big part of their, it's not a billion-dollar business.
No, but it made sense to me that by putting out the Surface devices, they set a bar, sort of minimum bar of how good machines need to be.
Right.
And you're not going to sell anything that doesn't exceed that bar.
Right.
Yeah.
I think both Intel and Microsoft have had the same problem, which is that they let the PC hardware manufacturers get to a place where price was everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quality was not that important. Mm-hmm. People just stopped buying the hardware.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They're still straightening that out.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, if I'd like to see Office on Linux anytime soon.
I think that's your hell freezes over.
Are you kidding? Microsoft owns Linux. They make money on every Linux device sold.
Well, I think you're going to see Office on Android. I do think
that will be cool.
That.
I would like that. That's close. That's Linux.
That's close enough.
That's Linux. It's a Linux kernel. That counts.
Yes.
It counts. The Blue servers. So we knew that they were going to, the Blue would go across everything.
Yeah.
And so now this confirms it.
Yep. They confirmed it publicly at TechEd. So this was a bunch of announcements all at once, which was kind of crazy. They announced there's a Blue Windows server, which is going to be called Windows Server 2012 R2 when it ships. There's a Blue version of SQL Server, which is SQL Server 2014. There is a Blue Visual Studio, Visual Studio 2013. And there's a Blue System Center, System Center 2012 R2. So they announced all of these things, and they said all of these are going to be out in a public preview on June 26th or around that date. They've been busy at Microsoft lately. Yeah.
Well, and I almost wonder, we had the same issue last fall when we went on the road trip. It's like when you have this season of launch, you put out so many products at once, it's almost like they don't get enough attention. It's hard for us to even absorb them all. There's so many things happening at once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to write articles this week about what's new in each of these. And it's just like Windows Client Blue. There is so much stuff in each of these, right? I don't know how much you guys got into any sessions or looking at what's in these, but there's like quite a laundry list of features in all of them.
Well, yeah, cool. It is staggering.
Yeah.
They're beavering away up there in Redmond.
They are. And I've heard so many people say, you know, they're just calling these new versions, but they're really service packs. There is no way these are service packs. Yeah. I mean, there's just so much stuff. Like Visual Studio 2013, they only told us about the TFS features pretty
but
much.
This is cool. Agile going to be built in and team collaboration.
Yeah. On SQL Server, we know there's going to be the in-memory database. It's codenamed Hecaton. That's going to be in there. There's tons of stuff around the new Hyper-V, another new version of their Hyper-V hypervisor in a server. I mean, there's just so much stuff. PowerShell 4. Good Lord.
Wow. Well, I just finished learning PowerShell 3.
Forget it all, Leo. Forget it all.
I know.
It's all
I don't
new. Know, no, I'm kidding.
No, it's just a few extra things, I'm sure. Yeah.
There's so much stuff. I mean, you guys are much more like developer and IT guys than I am, obviously. But, I mean, there's just so much stuff. And I'm sure you guys could go through millions of features in this, too.
So that's exciting.
But I think it also speaks to changes that are happening inside of Microsoft as well. Their ability to make software is accelerating.
Yeah.
And that it is, you know.
Why is that? More programmers?
More agile. No, they're getting
they're
more
agile. Yeah.
And they're actually using their own tools. You know, they say every team at Microsoft that builds software uses Studio with the exception of Windows, Office, and SQL Server.
But Wait a minute. With the exception of Windows, Office and SQL Server. Isn't that like the pretty big products?
Three very, very big products. Also,
they don't use Studio, but they're probably coding very close to the metal on at least the first two.
You got it, right? Like even SQL Server is extremely close to the metal. They work with the drives at a very deep level, and it's hard to do it any other way.
What are they using? GCC? What are they? Assembler?
Notepad.
Mazum?
Yeah. Notepad. Yeah. Notepad.
Notepad and Mazum. Yeah. Okay. And now we've heard a lot about the reorg. You, Mary Jo, were talking about this either last week or the week before. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg had an article. Is this, you feel this is accurate?
We've been hearing, Paul and I both have been hearing, there's a major, major reorg about to happen at Microsoft pretty soon. I'm not clear if it's going to happen around the end of their fiscal year, which would be June 30th timeframe, or if they're going to wait till they ship all these Blue products and then do it in the fall. But supposedly it's going to make them more aligned along devices and services lines. And there's all kinds of speculation about who's going to take power in this reorg. And so the Bloomberg story says... they think the three people who are going to get the most power here are going to be Satya Nadella, who right now runs server and tools, that he might head up services. Don Matrick might come and head up something around hardware, since he heads up the Xbox now. And Chi Lu, who does Bing and online services, and Tony Bates, who does Skype, might somehow play into with the services part.
That'd be cool. Chi Lu's a big fan, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah, nice. I ran into him at a food camp, and I'm a fan of his. He was at Yahoo, one of the most brilliant search scientists out there, and a great acquisition for Microsoft a few years ago for Bing.
Yeah, totally.
That's good. That's nice to see him moving up. And it's interesting. Yeah. Now, did Tony Bates come in with Skype, or was he already at Microsoft?
He was the head of Skype.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So the question, of course, that everybody asks after you hear that is, so what about Windows? And what about Windows Phone, right?
Server, Xbox, Bing, and Skype.
Right. So what about Windows, right? And, you know, if you believe Microsoft is becoming more of a devices and services company, you'd say, okay, so Windows probably is going to go with hardware, right? But what do you do when you have Xbox, Windows Phone, and Windows all mushed together, and who runs it? Is it going to be Julie Larson Green, who runs Windows now? Is it going to be Don Matrick? Is it going to be Terry Myerson, who runs Phone? Or are they going to have some other person come in and run it? It feels like in this reorg, all the rumors from all the different sites, no one knows where Windows is going to sit, which is very interesting.
Very interesting. Now, one of the things, they quoted an unnamed source saying Ballmer would create four divisions: enterprise led by Nadella, hardware overseen by Matrick, applications and services under Chi Lu, and operating systems led by Terry Myerson and Julie Larson Green. That leaves Bates somewhere. We don't know.
Skype, but probably in services, right? With Satya Nadella.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be, if this reorg that we all keep hearing rumors of happens, Microsoft is going to look like a really different place. And different people will be in power than have been in power for ages. Like Windows has always had an inordinate amount of power at Microsoft.
Well, and some of these people are not even, you know, longtime Microsofties.
Right.
Which I think is telling. It's like, we want new blood. We want fresh blood. We want fresh ideas. And what we really don't want is business as usual. And so maybe now I understand why you're saying maybe they'll start giving away Windows.
That wasn't my original idea. Colin Melia, who was tweeting about that, he talked to, that was his prediction at Build last year. He said, right, but Tim Huckabee's party right before Build, which was epic, by the way. He said, we went around on .NET Rocks and we said, what do you think you're going to see? And what he said is that the version after this of Windows, he thinks might be free. And if not, the one after that. That was his prediction. So
it gets harder and harder to think of what Windows 9 and 10 might be and what their role would be. And I think that's following the computing platform disappearing and becoming something very different. So I can understand that.
So I'm dying to see what happens there.
Wow. How soon would we see this, you think?
It could either be end of this fiscal, which would be June 30th timeframe, but I'm thinking they'd wait till after they ship Blue, because this would be so disruptive to do this in the middle of a major ship cycle. A little too disruptive, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe fall, maybe this fall.
Wow. All right. Well, this has been a very food for thought. We're going to take a break and get our picks of the week. In fact, Richard or Carl, if you have a software pick, we'll nominate you to do that. Paul usually does that. Or a tip. I know.
I got a tip.
All right. One of you take a tip, one of you take an app. Or you can both take two tips. Boy, that went out. I came out wrong.
All righty, then.
And then you, Mary Jo, will do the enterprise pick of the week and the rumor of the week, and which is another stunner.
Yeah. Wait to hear this one. Stay tuned, everyone.
Wow. I'm just looking at, you didn't say in the notes, but you. Then beer of the week, of course, because you were in New Orleans. So we'll do something from.
We can do a bourbon of the week. We found a good one.
I would love a bourbon of the week. I would love one. The chat room was all over Bullet Bourbon, which is a good one, but I think you guys could do better.
Well, so, you know.
Not yet. Hold on. Because I want to do a commercial. This is all called a tease, ladies and gentlemen, where we tease you with what things we'll be talking about after the commercial. which makes no sense because in a podcast, all that means is everybody goes, oh, yeah, let me scrub forward here. Don't scrub forward. You would miss out on share file. We were talking about the great thing Citrix is doing to empower business, and ShareFile is really a great solution. There's so many of us who are using. I don't want to name names. I'm not going to name names. But consumer grade file sharing technologies that really just don't make it in business, especially if you're say in the medical field where you've got federal regulations, HIPAA, requiring security. If you're trying to share large files via email, you know you're having trouble. If you're sending files via email that are secure, you're not. I always laugh when I get emails from attorneys that say the previous message is privileged. Please, if you're not the intended recipient, don't read it and destroy it immediately. I said, yeah, that'll work. That's effective. You see, you should be using ShareFile. You're sharing those legal documents with your clients. Don't be emailing them. Don't be attaching them. We know email attachments are a bad idea anyway, not secure. Bounce backs are a real problem. Try ShareFile. You can do it free for 30 days. ShareFile is customized for over 30 industries, medical and legal, of course, but accounting, advertising, architecture, and that's just the A's, biotech, construction, consulting, energy, education, engineering, government, manufacturing, printing, even video, even us. I actually use it all the time, every week, to send audio files to the radio stations. And what's nice is you'll know when it gets there. You get an email. You can control it. You can password protect it. You can say, I only want them to get one copy of this, or only should be allowed to download it for a week because next week it'll be a different file and I don't want them going back getting the old one. There's just all sorts of nice features that give you total control of who gets your files. It syncs automatically. I use the desktop app. They've got one for Windows and for Mac that'll automatically sync your folders. So you could share files from anywhere because you have access to your files on your laptop, your tablet, your smartphone using the free ShareFile app. Sign up today. You get a 30-day, no-obligation free trial. Just go to ShareFile.com. Don't click the big green button. Click the little green microphone up at the top of the page. It's a secret, secret one. This way, Mary Jo and Paul get credit. Enter the offer code Windows, if you will, and then pick your industry. You don't have to customize it, but it's so great if you do because you'll see all the additional features specific to regulations and needs in your particular industry. ShareFile.com, another great product from Citrix. Use the offer code Windows to try it free for 30 days. And we thank Citrix so much for supporting our fine program. All right, who wants to start? Does anybody have an app of the week to pick?
I've got an app.
All right, Richard, go ahead.
Well, it's not really an app, but it's about the coolest bit of software you could possibly imagine.
Wow!
It's the Space Telescope on Kickstarter.
Oh, I saw this. $1 million they're trying to raise. How close are they?
$800,000 in a week. They're going to make it, but the idea that for $25, I can get a photo of myself in space.
Isn't that hysterical?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
And $100 to be able to get a picture of a celestial object that is taken for you by this space telescope.
Well, you know, there's a line to use the Hubble for all the scientists, but this one will be public. So
yeah.
you can do it yourself. And it's actually the group doing this is pretty cool. Brent Spiner is on the video, Data, and Peter Diamandis, who was another really interesting fella. Cool. So if you go to Kickstarter and search for ARKYD, you can contribute. Still 24 days to go, and backers can have a variety of different things, including the space selfie you were referring to.
Yeah.
That's hysterical. They're going to have like a tablet on the thing and a camera, and you get your picture up there, and then they take a picture with the planet behind you. Yep. So wild.
Totally awesome.
So wild. For
put that on a business card.
Yeah, here's my space selfie. You know, that is pretty. You know, I was kind of mocking this because I thought, is $1 million enough? But if Peter Diamandis says $1 million is enough, I guess he knows what he's doing. But
well, it's Planetary Resources, right? These are the guys who mine asteroids.
Right.
So they've already designed the telescope. And the whole point here was they're going to launch a bunch for themselves
anyway. Right.
And so they figured they'd make one available to the public if they were if they could show the commitment. And the best way to show commitment was to raise $1 million.
So it doesn't cover all the costs. Obviously, they're covering considerable number amount of the
Well,
costs.
The thing only weighs 30 pounds, oh. right? It's tiny.
Oh, all right.
So it's not even a secondary payload on a spacecraft. It's just it goes in the inner tank ring. So it's just not a big deal. They can launch a bunch of them.
You can see it behind them, actually, in the video. It isn't very
big. That's full scale.
It's like a coffee can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tiny.
All right. I'm giving them $65. You're right. The business card. That's it.
That is it.
I'm such a sucker for Kickstarter. Right. This is real. I'm such a sucker for Kickstarter.
It's awesome.
I've spent so much money on stuff that I doubt I would ever buy in any other way. Good. Thank you. That's a good tip, Richard. A pick, rather. Anybody want to do a tip? You want to do one, Carl?
Yeah. I got one. So, as you know, the process for shutting down your computer or restarting in Windows 8 is a couple of keystrokes at best.
A couple?
Yeah.
More than that.
You shift, what is it, Windows I, and then you click the power, and then you select what you want to do. And, we'd like to have a shutdown button.
Yes.
So if you go to tinyurl.com/shutdownwin8button, you see this blog post at Geeky Portal, where the guy basically says you create a shortcut and you can put it in your taskbar, whatever, and it's a shortcut to shutdown.exe --s--a:00.
We used to do this in Windows 3.1 days.
Absolutely.
It's back, baby.
It's back. We need it now more than ever.
Now more than ever. Oh, that's so funny.
That's awesome.
Oh, that is so funny. This really brings back memories.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that shutdown exe is also an attack vector, so you know, it can be.
Yeah, get it from a reliable source. Is it built? It's not part of Windows. It's
built into Windows 8.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by having it be an attack vector?
Well, what I'm saying is that, if a piece of software gets a hold of shutdown exe,
right.
I mean,
they could shut you down.
They can shut you down. But, that's basic security. It's there in Windows 8 already.
Yeah. So that doesn't
make sure. Make sure you click it when you mean to click it.
Good tip. it's from Tech Republic. It's tinyurl.com/shutdownwin8. And we'll put it in the show notes as well. Good one. Thank you.
Yeah. Should we do the bourbon?
Yeah.
Richard?
Yeah.
He's so anxious to do the bourbon.
He really is.
Well, you only find unicorn drinks so often, so hard That's to find, true. So rare. And we ran across, while we were here in New Orleans, the Parker Family Reserve Bourbon. It's part of Heaven Hills. And their sixth edition Parker Reserve was astonishing. This is what beer wants to be when it grows up.
Hey, wait a second.
Not only just incredibly, the dangerous thing about it is it's about 68% alcohol. So, a single of this is like a double of just about anything else, but really nice to drink.
Wow. It's funny because I did a search for it and instead I got a Parker Family Reserve maple syrup, which is on Kickstarter, and I might do both. Imagine.
Don't do it.
Combining the two. You see what I'm saying? I got a Kickstarter problem. I don't know what it is. Maple. Mm.
I wish Pappy Van Winkle, and this is done by the Buffalo Trace Distillery now. It's called Buffalo Trace. These are the Sazerac people. Pappy Van Winkle is sort of the – it's very hard to find because it can get 20, 23 years old, I believe. But we were lucky enough to find at the springboard party last night at the bar, which is at Broussard's. They had one shot left of Pappy Van Winkle.
Oh. So just for the rest of us who've, merely had Jack Daniels, what's the characteristic of a bourbon like this?
Well, funny you should ask. Bourbon is was defined in the 60s by the FDA, I believe, as being 51% corn.
Yeah.
Has to be made in America. It has to be fermented to a certain proof. I mean, distilled to a certain proof and barreled at a certain proof range. And then barreled in brand new charred oak barrels.
Ah, not reused, brand new.
It can't be reused.
Yeah.
Most of these distilleries sell them then to, you know, the Canadians and the Scots and everybody else who makes whiskey and ages it. And then now there's a bourbon aged, bourbon barrel beer is getting popular.
So good. Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah. Wow, now you're making me really thirsty, so to speak.
It's America's whiskey.
Well, that's one way to put it.
Yeah.
It's scotch from down below, from the great southeast,
The distinction is that scotch is made only with barley, and bourbon is made with mostly corn, some other grain, typically either rye or wheat, and a little bit of barley, 5 to 10% barley.
Okay.
And we did a whole .NET Rock show on whiskey, by the way, which is coming up. So
cool.
It's one of our geek out shows has nothing to do with development.
Unless you're a distiller, right?
So, to change the subject, otherwise we're going to be here a long
time. Oh, yeah, you better. Okay. So, Mary Jo Foley, let's talk enterprise computing.
Yeah, let's go completely away from bourbon and talk enterprise.
You kind of got me going here. I'm getting, right. I really am.
But I have a good enterprise pick this week. It's called the Windows Azure Pack.
Ah.
This used to be called, get ready for this name, the Windows Azure Services for Windows Server product. Now called Windows Azure Pack. So Windows Azure Pack is basically everything that Microsoft made available earlier this year for hosters, for like service providers, that they could run in their data centers to connect up to Azure. Microsoft took that and said, you know what, let's give this to customers who want to have these services in their data centers as well. So there's things in this like the management portal, service management programming interface, a website's interface and service, the virtual machine service that let you run apps in Linux and Windows Server on Windows Azure and now Windows Server, and Service Bus support. So all of these things get rolled into this thing called the Windows Azure Pack that Microsoft's going to make available to anybody who's a hoster. So if you're a service provider, you know, third-party service provider, or if you're just somebody like a larger enterprise or even a mid-sized company who runs your own data center and you want to have your own private cloud, but run it with these kinds of services that Microsoft makes available to their customers in Azure, you now have it through this Windows Azure Pack. So that's got announced at TechEd this week. They didn't say exactly when that was going to be available. I don't think we have a date on it, but it's coming soon.
Very cool.
Yep.
So, Richard and Carl, would this be a good choice for a bourbon?
Here we go.
That will poke your eye out right there, my friend.
Okay.
To Richard's point, just how strong this stuff is. Usually, when we go to dinner, I'll have a double before dinner, and I'll probably have one with dinner, maybe one after, like of regular strength bourbon. This stuff, I had one drink, and it lasted me the whole night.
That's good.
And it was enough, let me tell you. It'll poke your eye out.
I just was looking on my liquor provider, my pusher, K&L Wines, and they have the Parker's Heritage Collection 2nd Edition 27-year bourbon.
27 years old.
Yeah.
It's tough to get in.
$200 a bottle. It's not cheap. It's it's going to cost you.
Well, you know, it's also tough because bourbons don't age as well as scotches do, I don't think. If you leave them in the barrel too long, they start to get all the nasty parts of the wood in the bourbon.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that.
That was illustrated to us by our friends at Maker's Mark on the tour. They actually gave us an over matured bourbon, and you just don't want it. So it's tricky to get it that old.
Yeah, they're talking about the Evan Williams 23-year-old, which is way past its prime, they say. So this 27-year-old, though, they said held up well. 96 points, according to John Hansel. Okay, moving along. Let's hear. It's bourbon talk. It's the Bourbon Brothers.
If you want to stay on booze for the rest of the show, we can do that.
I think you can.
I think all of us could do that, actually.
If it's not beer, it's bourbon. Let's. Mary Jo, though, has a very interesting rumor I want to hear about.
Yeah, you might all want to have your bourbon handy for this rumor. Okay. So let me qualify this rumor before I say it. This is from one person. And a person who's had mixed accuracy. So if I were going to rate this rumor, I might give it like a four. Four in terms of probability. The rumor is that with all this reorg talk that we've talked about earlier on the show, one person who is in play and considering being called back to Microsoft is Jay Allard. Remember Jay Allard? Jay Allard was the...
He wants to get back in the bigs.
This is why I have trouble. This is why I have trouble believing this, because I'm not so sure Jay Allard wants to come back. But, you know, Microsoft looking for someone to run a hardware division, somebody who knows the company very well. He used to be the chief technology officer in the entertainment and devices division. He's probably one of the main guys who helped Microsoft launch Xbox. But also helped them launch the Zune.
Yeah.
So
he was their consumer guy.
Yeah. He was their guy. So
Courier.
Yeah.
Courier. That's right. That's why he left, right? Wasn't that the rumor that he left because he was so pissed off?
Yeah.
The Courier was killed.
Right.
But he also did the Kin.
He helped with the Kin, I believe. didn't he? He might have. But, you know, he did Xbox, he did Courier, which never came to market, but many people were super interested in. And it almost did become a product. It got pretty close. Mm-hmm. So it would be interesting if they brought him back, because he didn't leave on completely bad terms with Microsoft. He actually left without Steve Ballmer throwing any chairs, as he joked in his goodbye. So I don't know. I don't know whether to believe this one or not. So I'm not giving it a high probability. But I did hear from someone in the past who has had some tips around reorgs that have been accurate. So.
Well, and I think he is widely respected, is he not?
Oh, yeah. He has, well, like everyone, he has the people who think his departure was the worst thing for Microsoft and some who think it was the best. Right. So, yeah. Wow. There you go.
So, Mary Jo, you were right because when you said you might want to pull out your bourbon, because I saw Leo take a swig of Blanton's during that.
You recognized the little horsey, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So that's one of the weeded bourbons. That's why it's so good.
Yeah, this one's good.
Yeah.
You know, it came out of barrel number 164, so that's good.
I think we met that barrel last month.
Yeah. And of course, the chat room was quick to point out that Jack Daniels is not a bourbon because it's made in Tennessee. You can't get a bourbon in Tennessee.
It's also filtered through sugar maple charcoal before it is bottled.
Doesn't hurt it a bit, but no, I like the Blantons, actually.
And the FDA says it has to be made in America. It doesn't have to be made in Kentucky.
Right.
The reason that Jack is not considered bourbon is because of that extra filtration step. That's the rule breaker. Right.
It is 93 proof, so it's not quite as big a kick. But,
I do appreciate those barrel strength.
Yeah, I like the barrel strength. Yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah. Barrel strength everything. For me.
So yeah, if you like those weeded bourbons like Blanton's, then you like Maker's Mark, you like Pappy Van Winkle.
Mm-hmm. Pappy Van Winkle. I just like the name.
It's a great name.
I'm getting me some Pappy
$400 a bottle. Oh,
wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh man, wow.
And good luck finding a bottle.
Yeah. Well, I noticed this other one was out of stock, so that's why I broke out the Blanton's. Good rumor. I want that rumor to come true. I'm a Jay Allard fan, actually.
Are you?
Okay.
I think he made Xbox. I think his track record is pretty good. I even like the Kin. So there.
Okay.
Shows what I know. Now it's time for a New Orleans beer.
Yep. You have to do a New Orleans beer pick of the week.
The Wild Hopatulus.
Yes. Hopatulus IPA is my beer pick of the week. So there's a NOLA Brewing, the New Orleans Lager and Ale Brewing Company, which was right near the convention center, has this IPA. They call it a West Coast style IPA. It's to me, it wasn't very hoppy, but people from New Orleans who aren't used to hoppy beer thought it was quite hoppy. And it was good. We had it at the Tweet Up. It was very tasty. I would have called it more a pale ale, but they call it an IPA typically. And 6 points, only 6%. Not like these bourbons we're talking about here. You'd drink a few of these.
Yeah. You can have more.
You could have more than one.
Drink more, they're weak.
Yeah.
No, this looks good.
It was good.
I actually like it. They say it's West Coast style. I like IPAs a lot. And
yeah.
Yeah. Hopatoulas. Yep.
Good. It was on Chopatoulas Avenue, I believe.
That you had Hopatoulas? That's good. I love New Orleans. I wish I were there right now, even though the heat.
It was fun.
It's a great place for a party. It basically is a party.
It is a party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, guys, speaking of parties, it's so good to have you. Thanks for filling in ably for Paul Thurrott, Richard Campbell, and Carl Franklin. You can find them at .netrocks.com. And Carl also does his own little side project. Richard does. We won't mention that to Carl. Called runasradio.com.
Well, we still produce it for him.
Oh, you do?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We all work together.
It's all.
And there's also tabletshow.com.
Yeah, the tablet show is the tabletshow.com. And that's... It is .NET Rocks, but the topic is always about new form factors and web and,
That's interesting, actually. That's a very interesting topic, isn't it? Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Really nice to have you. Nice to meet you. I hadn't met you before, so.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. We're big fans. We listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
We thank you all for joining us. We do Windows Weekly Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC on twit.tv. If you watch live, you get to see people drinking and things. But if you don't, you could still see people drinking and things on demand after the fact at twit.tv/www. Or, go to the Zune Marketplace or the Xbox Marketplace and get your copy wherever podcasts are aggregated, iTunes too. Tip of the Blantons to you, gentlemen, lady as well. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.